Hello and welcome to the Comedy Club Podcast. I am your host, Dustin Kaufman. Here with me, the very funny Mr. Andy Woodhull.
Hello.
Hi, Andy. What's your social media? Where do they find you?
At Andy Woodhull.
I love that.
Yeah, it's so just easy. My name.
I have an old Yahoo, Dustin Kaufman at Yahoo, and people are like, you must have had that for a long time.
That's not the one I still use, is Andy Woodhull at Yahoo.com. Or Andrew Woodhull.
Because it's not like Dustin Kaufman 1. We don't have we had this before other people, you know.
Yeah, I'm never giving it up. I get made fun of so much for why don't you have a Gmail? And I did eventually make a Gmail account just because you need it for things, but it's not the one I give out. I give Andrew Woodhull a Yahoo out and be like, why don't you have a Gmail? It works exactly the same.
I have so many Gmails. I have so many Gmails.
How many Gmails do you have, do you think?
Too many.
Why do you make new? Why do you keep making new ones to avoid comics?
I have multiple from the club. I have, I needed to create some gaming accounts for my kids. I was going to start a slot channel once, so I started an email for that I didn't use.
What's a slot channel? Like OnlyFans?
Like gambling.
You know, like a slot. Sorry.
Hello. but just different. I just have a lot. I have too many.
Yeah. And, all right. That's fun.
Like even the club's emails are disguised as, or Gmail's disguised as business.
Oh, know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's so cool. It's what is it?
Well, it's the Comedy Club KC at Gmail. But then,
and which one do you email if you're trying to get booked here?
But we disguise it as stand up at the Comedy Club KC. If you're trying to get booked here.
And which one do you email if you're trying to get booked here? Do you want to say that?
Andrew Woodhull at yahoo.com.
Like, what's the one that you send your funniest clip to get a week of headlining work at the club?
Send it to Funny Bone KC. Just send that to Bark Entertainment.
Well, you heard it here. Put together your best 50 minutes.
We're looking for all the features. We want all the features. We're looking for brand new features. Buddy, I've known you a long, long time.
And yeah, I know, man. Yeah.
So I want to share a little story here, and I don't even know if I've ever told you this. And this is mad respect to what you do. So our predecessor, Stanford's, when I first started, the manager was a comedian named Brian Burgess. And this is when people would send in VHS tapes, right?
I have sent out a VHS tape. I was at the tail end, I got to learn how to burn a DVD.
Right, and so
I'm going to send VHS like an old school.
Man, yeah. I would go around the country with a portfolio do guest spots,
yeah.
Handing out portfolios with headshots, resumes, DVDs and stuff. Yeah. The whole thing, man.
So fun. It's so... You know, I don't feel that old, but when you explain that to young comedians, boy, it feels old.
Feels old.
Feels really old, yeah.
Yeah.
I took this stand-up comedy class at the St. Louis Funny Bone, and the guy that taught the class, Matt Barron is his name. You remember Matt Barron? He was like, I don't even watch DVDs. I got a VHS. It's like, how crazy is that? That's like advice I was getting in a class that's like, don't even bother with this new fancy technology. God. Send what works, a VHS tape.
That's what they want. So people would send VHS tapes, and Brian was a manager, but he was also a comic, and he was a great comic, right? Brian Burgess. And he would watch the tapes, and if comics weren't getting a laugh every 15 seconds, he would stop watching. And this is how they would book their headliners. You know what I mean? Back in the day, it was just based on funny. And I always kind of remembered that. He's looking for 15 seconds laughs. And so in the back of my head, and then I saw one of your television appearances at a point, and that was in the back of my head. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to count.
I'm
gonna count how often Andy gets a laugh, and bro, you were firing it in there every 5 seconds.
Wow, thank you.
Every 5 seconds, you were just coming out heat, 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 heat.
Thank you. I do intentionally try to do that. Partially, I think, out of being uncomfortable every second I'm on stage and the audience isn't laughing. But also, I don't know if you remember Ron Ramey. Do you remember Ron Ramey?
Ron Ramey.
He was a St. Louis comic. He was just like one of the headliners when I was starting. And I was doing a middle week with him, and we've lost him. He's passed away. But it was like his last year on the road, and I was middling, and it was like right before I started headlining again. And I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. It wasn't like he brought me. We just got randomly paired together, and we're staying in a condo. And he said after the show, I can tell you started in St. Louis. Because there's no fat. It's just joke after joke. Wow. I can tell you're like one of the guys that I, because that's, he would come host the open mic night and give advice along with a bunch of other St. Louis guys that would host the open mic night and give advice. And that always meant so I'm so sad we lost him. But thank you for the compliment. That's a compliment that lives in my head forever. Yeah.
I have beef with that club, buddy.
The St. Louis Funny Bone, yeah.
The Westport?
Westport. No, of course. Everyone should. I'm sure.
Like, it was one of the most disrespectful, like, encounters of my entire young career.
Oh, really?
And it was, yeah, absolutely. Because, man, when you're coming up, especially back in the, like, they have social media now. And
yeah,
it's so much easier, right? But you used to have to fucking grind.
Yeah.
You're driving out to do guest spots, to set up guests, like to do open mics, to like just to break in and start working. And so I made that 4-hour drive to go out and just to set up a guest spot.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not even doing it just to get it set up.
Right. And because it was a hard place to communicate with. We took a trip out from KC one time as a group, and I went out and I did really well on that open mic, right? And so I went back, hey, this, I'd love to do a guest spot. They asked me to come back the following week to do it. And then I came back and I did, and I showed up, and they're like, sorry, man, we're not going to do that. And I'm like, I drove from Kansas City for this because you told me to come. And he goes, you drove 4 hours for a guest spot? He said, I will never forget this. He said, that's pathetic.
Well, I mean, it's not pathetic. That's just what everyone was doing to try to get the middle spots at the clubs and driving distance.
Absolutely, everyone was doing it.
Yeah.
That's fucking, and it's a bullshit, arrogant thing to do, to just dismiss and try to down somebody you know what I mean? Like, I will never forget that. And like, and I don't know if it bothered me.
Has that informed, because now you are in the position, has that informed how you've talked to and interacted with young
hopeful comics? I just ignore them from the get-go.
Don't ever even give him a glimmer of hope. That way it's so much easier.
Dude, I ignore him from the email. Don't even respond, man. No, and I've seen this, obviously, man, and I still perform now. I mean, I've been in this industry 25 years, but I mean, I've spent thousands of hours on stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's, I mean, how many minutes, whatever. I've performed in almost every state in the country. And like,
right.
And so.
What states are you missing?
Probably a couple Northeast.
Yeah.
Like somewhere beyond New York or something.
Yeah. Oddly, me too. It's like Northeast, Wyoming, and Mississippi. Oh,
I've definitely performed in Wyoming.
Yeah.
Because I used to do those triple runs between KC and Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
So that like Wyoming, Montana, Idaho.
Wow.
I used to do those runs to work my way to Seattle. But like, I've seen it work the other way. I've bragged on him before. He's been on the podcast, AJ Wilkerson.
Mm-hmm.
We had, I think 2001, we had Jason Mewes, you know, Jay and Silent Bob.
I just saw Kevin Smith at the airport.
I love that.
He was doing the exact same. No, I don't know. We don't know each other. He was doing the exact same thing that I was doing. We were in Detroit. I assume he did a gig there or something. And it was only like a half hour before the flight started. But now that Delta's made it so you only have so many trips to the lounge, we're both just walking around looking at the stores, at the junk food we wanted to eat, and then talking ourselves out of getting it. I was following him from store to store, and he couldn't have looked more like Kevin Smith. He wears the trench coat in his real life.
Oh my God.
And if he had headphones in, otherwise I would, I I thought about being like, hey, I'm Andy. You know, I'm a comedian. You might even know my name from the club that you're at. You know, I could be on a poster or some. But because every comedian can say hi to any comedian.
Sure.
But he had his headphones in.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a sign you don't want to talk to people.
Sure.
But it was cool. It's funny you mentioned Jason Mewes.
So we decided to do this. And it's like still COVID, coming out of COVID. And AJ Wilkerson lived in Florida, and he would come even do our, like, when he was around, do our patio open mics during COVID. But we ran a contest, a local contest. Winner of the contest got to do a guest spot with Jason Mewes. I actually reached out to his people to make sure it was okay. You know, I was like, hey, this will help, you know, promote a little bit, also give opportunity. And they're like, yeah, okay, we're cool with that. So AJ drives from Florida.
Wow.
Talk about pathetic.
What a loser.
What a loser. Drives from Florida for this, wins it, goes home, comes back the next week for the guest spot. Jason's manager loves him. They ask him to stay for the weekend. Then they end up taking him on the road. And he's been on the road opening for Jason ever since. He does the podcast with him. And they filmed a spot for Clerks 3. Although I do think it got cut, he still got that. And that's for being such a loser. He drove halfway across the country.
That's cool.
For the opportunity to do a guest spot.
That is the only story I've ever heard. Because if you ask me, how does your life change after you do a set on TV? You know, I'm like, it doesn't. It's the same. No one set changes anything. No one set, no matter how big you think it is, changes anything in your life. Maybe it opens a door just like a little bit more so you could try to get your foot in. That's the first story I ever heard where, like, that one show gave that guy a whole career. But that's amazing. He worked
hard for that show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's cool. Yeah. It drove a long way.
So I have a lot of respect for people who invest in themselves. You know, I always tell my comics to go out, fucking go on the road, go do other scenes, go do mics, go to Omaha, go to wherever, like St. Louis, go, just go out wherever you can, go spend time in Chicago, just perform for other crowds.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. You mentioned the St. Louis, and that's, I mean, I know it's a good, you know, they book a lot of good funny comics and stuff like that. That's one of the rare clubs that actually does focus on just booking funny comics.
Yeah, there's not a lot. There's not a lot left.
Yeah.
There's not a lot left.
Not a lot.
Let's name them. Let's name the clubs that just book funny comics.
That just book funny?
Yeah, yeah. They obviously are going to book draws also.
Right.
But the clubs that are just, the clubs that, when I was coming up, we talked about this a little bit earlier. It used
to
be like,
your chains are out.
Yeah, you get funny. You get funny enough to host, and then you get so funny as a host, you start middling. Mm-hmm. And then you get so funny as a middle that the headliners are having a hard time following you, and the club's like, you've graduated. You're a headliner now. You got a TV credit.
Those days
are
over.
You're so funny. Yeah, it's totally gone. That's like, it's so weird to work hard to accomplish something, and then when you reach the top of the ladder, someone knocked the ladder down, and now I gotta ride a escalator the wrong way to try to get back to the top or something. I don't know what a good metaphor
right.
is. That's not a bad one, but
you're right.
That's
though.
Kind of what it what I was. But yeah, there's. I'm gonna say your club because I'm here right now. So your club, the Comedy Club, Kansas City. All chains are out. You're right about that. I'm gonna say Acme, Minneapolis. That's a club. Everybody in the town knows it's funny. You don't have to know the comedian. You just go. It's always good. Hilarities
and they bring
in Cleveland.
It out just for funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Hilarities in Cleveland.
Hilarities in Cleveland. Same deal. I think it's true, although they don't book me, so it's prejudice, or I should be prejudiced, but I think Comedy Works in Denver is also on that
list.
Well,
they book monsters, though.
They book monsters, but it's, don't you think that it's just like its own brand of people will go.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
If
people will go
there,
because like this is a comedy club in our city and it's always great. So let's just go and see whoever is there tonight. That's what people don't do anymore.
If you're there, if you're booked for a weekend at the Comedy Works, I think people automatically assume you're funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's kind of like, yes, Denver definitely it has that reputation, but I think for, I don't know how much comedy fans are aware of it, but comedians definitely know, and comedy bookers know.
Yeah.
like, you know, she books funny people there. 100%.
What other clubs? You got any more on the list? Go Bananas in Cincinnati.
That actually just cares about, I don't know. It's hard to find them these days.
It is.
Because so many.
It's probably hard to be them.
This industry's a bit of a mess right now, but like in a positive way, that I think a lot of club owners, there's a lot, don't care as much about funny, mm-hmm. as much about money.
Mm-hmm.
I really try to find that balance.
Well, the thing is, you got to care about both. Even as a comedian, you got to care about both. Otherwise, you know, you can't keep doing it.
Right.
That's the thing. Like, I just want to keep being a comedian. So you got to figure it out.
I can't put brand new headliners with social media followings on for a weekend. I'll open my midweeks for them.
Oh yeah.
And happily. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Maybe we'll try and lure, if they're really selling, just because it's new and we really need to put some money in that club.
Yeah.
Right? But, like, I really try to find that balance. I would rather have, like, my social media people on, like, a Wednesday or Thursday or Sunday, and then, like, have just really funny people who mm-hmm. and sell some tickets over the weekend. Although, you know, I think that's caught up to us where, like, I think our calendar right now is the strongest it's ever been. It's phenomenal, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to book people just because they're going to sell tickets. I'm also at the point, Andy, that I just don't want to deal with the bullshit. I'm definitely not going to mention
names. What kind of bullshit we talking about?
I'm not going to mention names.
Name some names. Tell some bullshit.
But if you're a headache in the green room, go somewhere else.
Is this because I took one of your Dr. Pepper Zero Sugars?
That's the last one you'll ever get. I'm here to be happy. I'm here because I love comedy.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't, go somewhere else.
Well, you made it. And like the most important way you made it, because you made it in my mind, if you get to like keep doing comedy and be involved in comedy, and now you're somehow also living a full personal life. That's to me like you made it. You're able to make enough money that
does
you
it appear that have I have a full personal life?
Yes.
Great.
I just assume. I mean, you got a couple kids.
I do.
I know you got a couple kids. You got a life. You know.
I'm a single dad. Like two kids. But well,
the second wife is on the way, my man. Did you hear my new second wife material? It's hot. People love it.
You have a little baby.
I have a little baby, yeah.
7 months old?
7 months old, yeah.
And you're married?
And I'm married,
Second wife?
Second wife.
How long have you been married?
Second wife.
Please don't say 9 years. Months.
Okay, good. 2 years.
2 years. So.
Yeah.
So marriage came first. First came love, then came marriage.
Marriage,
and then came the baby and the baby carriage.
That's exactly what
perfect
happened.
Perfect order.
Yeah. Well, first came love, then came marriage, then came divorce, then came love again, and then came marriage, and then came the baby and the baby carriage.
I lost all my money, and then I.
But let me tell you, this new wife has got stacks of cash. Oh brother.
God,
boy, did I get. I won this time. If we split up, she's paying me alimony. That's what you got to get, fellas.
How much truth is there to this?
No, I mean. I would
how
say
how much truth is there the first part of that sentence. It's a weird thing just to throw. No. Bitch, I won the lottery.
Yeah. I mean, there's like that line from
and
Chappelle
now we're
Show.
Start talking about the third wife.
Yeah. There's that line from Chappelle Show. You remember the one where he gets Oprah pregnant and he's just like, "I got you, bitch." You know. Like we definitely did that. I definitely said that to my wife. Yeah. But no, my wife is like, we're 50-50 financial equals in our marriage.
That's
which
feel good.
Which feels so good because my first marriage, it was, you know, like 100-0 was the ratio we decided to do. And so 50-50 feels like I'm rich. You know, we're doing everything split. This is incredible.
I love that.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You happy?
I'm very happy.
Where did you meet your wife?
We met on Tinder.
Okay.
In Los Angeles. Yeah, we met on Tinder in Los Angeles. I did jokes about it on one album. If I think about it, I would remember which one it is. But we met on Tinder in Los Angeles right before the pandemic and we were both seeing other people. And then the lockdown made it so it was like terrifying to see people, but we both didn't want to be totally alone. So prematurely, like 2 dates in, we decided let's stop seeing other people, only see each other. And then that year we just became super close because we hung out every weekend. And I think we probably got, I don't know, 5 years worth of dating and getting close in a year. And then by the end of it, we moved in together. Yeah.
And you were living in Los Angeles. You weren't working as a
comic. I'm very lucky because a couple things happened for me during the pandemic. I moved to Los Angeles to write on a TV show that did get shut down for a while, but then came back. Television show. Yes.
Were you working the road?
No, I didn't work the road at all because I had this TV show that I was writing on. It's called The Movie Show. It was on the Sci-Fi Network. I think it's the funniest show that's ever been on TV. It's puppets. It's so fun. So I was very lucky that I didn't have the pressure of like you have to go out and kind of risk doing road shows because I had this steady job for the first time in my life as an adult. You know, since I left the laboratory with my geology job that I had, you know, in like 2009, it was the first time that I had like a steady. So that was a crazy thing in our relationship because that's what I did for the whole first year that we were together. And then about a year and a half in, I took some road dates. It was kind of crazy because she came with me to a gig I did in Vegas. We've been together for a year and a half and she's never seen me do stand up. Oh my She's God. Never seen me do the thing that like kind of defines like my inner soul or whatever, like who I identify myself as a comedian. She'd never seen it. So like the pressure in that moment of like, we're already in love. We're like heading towards getting married one day, probably. And she also likes stand up and she's very funny herself. The pressure of that set of like, oh, if I bomb right now, she's going to lose all respect for me and this is going to be over. But I had a good set.
You don't bomb.
But I had a good set. Yeah.
So it's just interesting that like, you know, you kind of meet her in a time where you're not going to be working. And that's like, it threw me because when you said we spent every weekend
together. Yeah, because I didn't know clubs. I was just working on the TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that show. And then I got another job on another TV show called Straight Up Steve Austin, where during the show, Steve Austin would interview people. And then at the end of the show, he would say, and here's 3 things I learned from hanging out with Tiffany Haddish. And then I would write those 3 things. That was my whole job.
Really?
Was to watch.
You wrote
watch
for that
the
show?
Taping. I just wrote the 3 things.
What?
Yeah.
What?
The 3 things.
What?
Am I bragging? Are you making fun of me? I'm just saying what I was doing.
No, it's a stone cold thing.
Oh, I don't even know wrestling. I shouldn't have been given that job.
I shouldn't have had that job.
I shouldn't have. Someone that loved wrestling
you
should have
like
had that
job. Give me a hell yeah. Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Andy 316 said, I just made you laugh.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. You wrote for Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Can I touch your writing hand?
Yes.
Were you typing?
Well, I typed it, so both hands. So if you want to embrace them, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
No.
Season 2. You watch season 2 of Straight Up. I don't even know if you could find it anywhere, but.
So you're not excited for WrestleMania this weekend? Couldn't give a shit.
No, I'm not a wrestling guy. I do apologize for getting that job. It should have gone to someone that loves wrestling.
Like anybody else.
It's wild how many comedians love wrestling. It's something I've never
it's
been
into.
It's
weird that even as a club owner, I have considered, like, could I take a writing job for WWE?
I know a comic that did write for WWE. Do you ever have Terry Thomas here?
No.
He's from Birmingham. He lives in New York. He's a very, very funny guy. But, yeah, he's not doing it anymore, I don't think. But that's, like, what he lives in New York and he like kind of fell into it. I think he was working on Impractical Jokers and then I think he met these wrestling people. I can't remember exactly how it was, but he was like working on the storylines and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
God, imagine you had him and you got to interview him.
And now my kid, my oldest is a big wrestling fan as well.
Oh, really? How old is he?
He'll be 12 next week.
Wow. And are
and
you
by
guys
the time
going
this
to wrestle
goes out? Him? You know what? Let me say this. By the time, because it'll be a couple weeks. He is 12 years old now.
Oh yeah.
Because this will come out when he's 12. Probably.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that the birthday gift? WrestleMania tickets?
Fuck no, dude. No, I'm not. A, I'm not taking them to Vegas. B, I'm not going to Vegas with kids. God, already? What the hell?
Oh, time has just flown by on this
podcast. Jesus Christ. And then they're just wildly expensive tickets anymore. They're thousands per
ticket. Wow.
And my kids are too young for that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's
understandable.
Just, that whole TKO thing is rude. It's just whatever. But yeah, it's very expensive. Oh, God damn. Then we have 5 minutes left.
That is the fastest
that has ever come. Are you sure you looked at those time rides? We just talked shit on the St. Louis the entire time. I don't mind. They're not affiliated with the other one here in town. I'm not a guy. And again, I told you this is not a baiting show. I don't look for, like, you know, I don't try to, like, blow people out on this. I'm not trying to talk shit and, like, you know.
You know, and I don't know them that well anymore. I think there was a time where I felt like I knew them well there in St. Louis. But what I know of them, I don't think anyone would be mad at the story that you told. I think everyone would be like,
that sounds like them.
It's like, do you have anyone in your life that... people, like, so many people have a hard time. They're like, you friends with him? I'm like, yeah, but I just, like, I know he's like that, and I'm friends with all the other parts of his personality.
Yeah,
I understand that he does this one thing, but I'm friends with all the other parts of his, right? I had a roommate that was like that. No one could stand him. But I'm like, yeah, but I mean, we have, like, a good time playing Mario Kart, so we're still friends.
Okay, so I've been playing Mario Kart. So you're Mario Kart.
Let's plug it in.
You're Mario Kart guy, right?
I haven't played in a while, but I do love Mario Kart.
So I want to Google real quick. Mario, what's the big bullet? What's the big bullet called?
Bullet Bob.
Okay. I could have just asked. So in Mario, I don't remember.
Bullet Bill and Bullet Bob. Yeah,
there's the giant bullet. Yeah. When you do versus mode in Mario, this is y'all can take this home with you. when you do Mario, people are gonna watch this and immediately put their phones down or get off their. They're gonna get off their couch to put on the Nintendo and then get back on the couch. Get on Mario Kart. Go to versus mode.
Okay,
and you know, like, you can get the turtle shells and the bullets and the. You can customize how you want those to appear.
Yeah.
Turn them all off and only choose the giant bullet.
Whoa.
Bro.
That's fun.
It's the best. It's the best. The entire... It is the biggest rush of dopamines you could ever get playing with Mario.
Like, I want to play.
And then put it on 500cc as well and just fucking go, man. Just go. Like, just choose the giant bullet. It is the best.
Wow.
And I'll do that when it's just me against the computer. My kids and I were doing that the other day. We will play normal, but after like a while, you're like, it's bullet time.
That's fun.
It is real fun.
Sounds awesome.
The trick, the key, you got to get the one with the double coins. So you get two at a time.
Oh yeah. Two at a time. Double them up. Yeah.
You got to get two at a time. It's the best. The only way to play Mario Kart, in my opinion.
I can't wait.
You can't.
I'm sure there's. I wonder if there's YouTube. There probably is YouTube videos of people doing that.
Probably.
Maybe this is your new thing. You go viral with a YouTube video.
Oh, I'm gonna do that. Can I? I don't know how.
I looked into the game.
I don't know.
It's gonna be a good clip.
Thanks for watching the Comedy Club podcast. That's Andy. That's Andy Woodhull, everybody. Say bye, Andy.
Bye.
Go play Mario Kart.
Bye.
And check us out at the Comedy Club, KC.
Bye.